Hey, I'm Jason Warner Smith. I played Gavin on AMC's The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media. Don't turn it off.
The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 82, Comic-Con, Other News, and Brian Rants.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
We are back. We have another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian, and I'm back.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Kyle.
And tonight, we are here to discuss a lot of news and stuff from Comic-Con and other news that we haven't been able to cover. And you guys promised that I would get my rant off for those last two episodes, because I had a lot to say, and I was very frustrated the night that I was driving to Florida, that I couldn't actually
join us.
We missed you, man.
Yeah, what happened was I left Cleveland later than I had expected, so I had planned to do the episode, you know, from the hotel room, and I never got to the hotel room. I ended up sleeping in the truck that night. So, it was kind of sucked, but the whole move was tough, but anyway, so my news, quite a bit has happened to me since I've last been on these airwaves. I have started a new job in Tampa, Florida. We had talked a little bit about that, I think, before I had to go off the air. But yeah, so we've now moved down here. Actually, we're just outside of Tampa, but it's hard to tell. It's
still Florida.
We're in what's called a census designated place. So it's not an actual town, but it's part of Hillsborough County. So we're just outside of Tampa. But so it's quite a bit different than Cleveland. Getting used to it. It was a tough move. I had to move out of two places instead of one, because we hadn't fully moved out of the old place when all havoc went loose. But I want to thank both you guys for doing the podcast in my absence. I really wanted to join you for both episodes, but I just couldn't work it. It was just
not a problem.
It's too hectic.
We missed you a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were going to do whatever to keep the show going, but
yeah.
We're just glad you're back.
I know.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm in a obviously a new place to record. The room has been treated. I've got acoustic panels all over the place. But I don't know, I'm still probably going to tweak the sound a little bit. We'll see. And we're going to experiment a little bit with video. So at least I don't know for sure if we're going to YouTube, but we may do some Facebook stuff. We'll see. But we're not going to do that tonight. We're just kind of doing a test run here. But so thanks for you guys, keeping the show going in my absence.
No problem.
But anyway, so we got a lot to talk about. First and foremost, I think last week we had Comic-Con, and all the stuff that came out of that. And unfortunately, we got the official news from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that Andrew Lincoln is in fact leaving The Walking Dead. And, you know, I was pretty down about it when, because that was a story that you guys reported on, you know, in our, I think the last episode or the episode before. But, you know, it's official now. And I've had a little time to, you know, mull it over and think about it. And I'm hopeful that they'll do something, you know, good with the show. I really did like at the panel, Angela Kang, and mm-hmm. and just, yeah, I thought she represented herself very well for someone that we have not been able to see much, you know, on TV and, you know, on video and even recorded. Like it's only the second time I've heard her speak. Mm-hmm. She did an episode of I think it's called the Writers Panel. It's a Nerdist podcast, years and years ago with, I think it was either season two or three of The Walking Dead. And she did it with Scott M. Gimple and Glenn Mazera. So I heard her talk then, but I've never heard her since. So it's good to hear her. And, you know, I had good impressions of her from that panel.
From the panel, yeah.
Same. Yeah. And the trailer itself, I think, was really good. So, yeah. So what did you guys think of all of that?
I had not known Angela Kang other than the fact that, you know, she had done what the episode, and they even talked about it on the panel of who died back in season what, 3, that she wrote the episode for.
Oh, you mean Dale?
Dale, yeah.
Yeah, season 2.
Yeah. I didn't want, every time I try to like think of stuff like this, it's just like my mind goes blank right when I need it. But so she wrote, you know, that episode. So she's done some things. We've heard her name around, but with the fact that Gimple stepping back and then she was like, you know, coming in to, you know, basically be the showrunner and just listening to her, you know, it's like first impressions I think are really important. And I kind of have this like trust with her that she's going to, you know, take things in the right direction.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt from it. So,
yeah. And she does have the track record. I mean, she's written some really good episodes, mm-hmm. especially I'd say in the last like 3 seasons. Particularly I think one that stands out that I know she, wrote, like her name is solo on it, is, The Same Boat. The one with Maggie and Carol against the saviors and that, you know, whatever that.
Oh, the outpost.
The outpost, yeah.
The satellite outpost where we saw that redhead that we all loved.
Yes, yes, yes. What's her name? Alicia Witt.
Yeah.
Laura, is that her name, I think?
I think so.
Yeah. That episode was outstanding. That was one of the, there were several good episodes in season 6, but that was, you know, I'd say top 3, you know, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just, to me, it's like having the fact that, you know, we knew Andrew Lincoln was possibly leaving, Carl died, you know, like all these changes are coming ahead and like stuff basically departing from the comic. I have a good feeling with her because it's,
yeah.
So I'm kind of like, okay, let's see what she does.
And I got the impression, like, you know, I had speculated, I didn't get to say it, last, you know, when you guys initially talked about it, but, you know, I got the impression that a lot of it had come out of, the decision to kill Carl. And that might have been the case, but I got the impression from listening to Andrew Lincoln talk that it was just time. Like, you know, I think he was worried about, like, you know, like I'm under the impression that his kids have been in the States, but maybe they, I don't know, go back for school or something. And now they're probably at the age where they can't do that anymore. It's just, I don't know for sure, but that's maybe the impression that I got. And he's, you can tell he's very much of a family man, and, you know, he wants to go back to his kids. And, you know, when they asked him, I think it was the Dalton Ross interview, that he did, where, you know, there were several of them mm-hmm. there, you know, they asked him, you know, what are you going to do? And it didn't sound like, you know, he's going to be, you know, going up for, you know, new roles. He wants to hang back and, you know, be with his family for a while. And, you know, he's certainly made enough money to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, so more power to him. And, you know, he's done everything that I would love him to go to the end, but I also get the impression that AMC would like to run this show to the ground. And you know, if they could get 20 seasons out of this show, they would. So, you know, I think it's probably a good time for him to go. And, you know, maybe they won't even kill him off. Maybe he'll ride out into the sunset, you know. Where's yeah. Morgan? I gotta find more.
or Schwarzenegger could come out and say, "Get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper!"
But I mean, you know, that's the kind of just shows you, like, there's the difference in the median. It's like, you know, the comic book is obviously it's a written thing that can go on forever and ever and ever, and it is doing, you know, it's still going on, and stories haven't even seen on TV. But then it was interesting just when they were talking about or when he just kind of brought up, it's like, it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, well, 10 years of your life.
Yeah, it's 10 years of filming for him, but it's only been 9 years for us.
Right.
So, you know, he really filled out his life. Honestly, I don't blame him for doing that.
I don't either.
If they write him off in a sense where he could come back, he could always just come back as a cameo or in that final season where he could do something.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it, I guess, but they have lots of options, and we'll just see what they do.
I gotta find Morgan.
I'm in Texas, y'all.
That was not that specific thing was brought up, but that question got asked about if, you know, other people would be coming over and crossing over. And of course, Gimple and his Gimple way was like,
it's Gimple Gate.
Yeah. He didn't say no. He didn't say yes. He's just like, we'll see.
Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well.
Well, did you read his new comic?
I heard about that. So he's doing a comic with Kirkman, right?
Yeah, Robert and him joined together. It was kind of one of those one-offs, and nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
My comic shop threw that in, and I grabbed a couple extra issues, but I read it.
Is it just a one-off, or is it?
No. It's an ongoing series, but it's the first issue, and I bought like three copies. They threw one in. I grabbed an extra two, but it seems to be more like espionage and more kind of like a Hitman kind of storyline. So it's different from The Walking Dead. There's no, you know, apocalypse or anything.
Okay. So it's not not that I paid it. Like, he has a new Oblivion song, but I haven't read it yet, but
it's pretty good. Oblivion song. And I, Steve and but I that's not talk the about that. Yeah. Yeah. It's Die, Die, Die.
Okay.
The new comic. Right. Okay. Yeah, what is Oblivion song about?
Think of Star Trek meets an apocalypse.
Okay.
A different dimension falls upon Philadelphia, and it's split in half, and there's the alien half, which people are stuck in And then there's other people on the other side of Philadelphia, but there's one person that wants to go in, and he's able to go in and out of both areas. It's kind of like a dimension warp.
Sounds more like Fringe than Star Trek.
Yeah, well, he's able to go in and out. It's kind of like the same world, but it's not the same world. You got creatures, you got, you know, and he's trying to get survivors that are over there and trying to bring them back, and he's trying to find a family member that's over there.
Yeah.
And that, the one thing I was reading about too was the fact that it's like, because so much time has passed, because I guess it does, like the incident happened, and then this is, isn't it like several years, if not more?
Yeah.
And so the rest of the world in our reality have just basically come to accept it, and just like, you know, those areas are just cut off. So I don't know. It's a very, very interesting concept, and I just haven't gotten a chance to read it yet about the first issue.
Like, it's like almost like a District 9. It's like, okay, can't go there.
That's interesting. So as far as the panels, I guess we'll, since we kind of started talking about that, I thought it was, well, I was kind of surprised actually that at the panel it never really got discussed about Lauren Cohan and what her status with the show was. But I since, you know, I mentioned the Dalton Ross interview, and there's a link to that on the Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And if you're not a member, Negan says,
"Are you kidding me?"
I thought I would play that a little early. So anyway, yeah, so I was surprised that Yvette Nicole Brown didn't mention it, but I guess she's not being killed off, if I understand. So what, she gonna like go away? Oh, you know what it could be? I just thought of this. Could she be going to the Commonwealth? Maybe she flies off in the helicopter.
Possibly. Because then she just still would be around for, I mean, that's the thing. Like, here we have, it's one thing that kind of struck me too. It's like, okay, Andrew Lincoln basically is like, hey, this is my last deal, making it official. But we've all heard the news and stuff about Cohan, and it's just all like, oh, she got it on this new show, but it's like, that's it. Yeah. So I mean, I think she's sticking around. Just, yeah, what, maybe that's, she's taking a little break maybe, and if they decide to bring her back or.
Well, yeah, and you know, with she's not with a dead. Show, yeah, I mean, with a show, a brand new show, it could become a hit, and if it becomes a hit, and it's probably a short run, I imagine, you know,
yeah,
this first season. So if it becomes a hit and they, you know, order a full 22 episodes or something like that, she'll probably not come back for season 10. But if it's, you know, not a big hit, you know, or
right. They be like, you still have your job.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's only like a limited run show, or, you know, just like a 10 episode season or something like that. She could probably still do the show if mm-hmm. the scheduling is right. And she's ambitious enough to want to be the lead, you know, a lead character in two shows. It's possible. So, you know, they could probably kill her off too, because we said all the same things for Sonequa Martin-Green, but that didn't work. So,
well, there's also the fact that there are other actors in the show that have done other things.
Look at
Norman Reedus. He's mm-hmm. done, over the past number of seasons, movies.
Yeah.
And they accommodated, or he just, you know, made that time for himself to do that in certain ways. And I'm thinking that they're leaving it open-ended. And there was something that I wrote down recently about her being on Kelly and Ryan in the morning show. And she mentions that it's an open end.
Oh,
for her.
Was that this week?
That was this morning.
Oh, this morning. Oh, okay. Would explain why I didn't see that. well, I mean, that's good. And okay. So anything else about the Comic-Con panel that you want to talk about?
Well, I could give you the quote from Lauren Cohan based upon Kellyanne Ryan this morning.
Okay.
All right. Lauren Cohan seemed to have split some, she gave some info on the Live with Kellyanne Ryan this week and stated, "This is my last season as we know of it. It's an open-ended story. I don't die." So she flat out states, "I don't die. We're just exploring." So she doesn't die in the show. So where do they write her off, or how do they, you know, do this? Is she going to the Commonwealth? Is the Commonwealth with that helicopter? That was the only thing, the only questions I had regarding that. But that was explained this morning when they interviewed her. But she had that concerned look as she was saying it. So,
like, curious. Should I have really said that?
Oops. Said that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's like, you know, how she spilt that info, I don't know. But it's out there.
Yeah. The fact that they didn't make any kind of announcement. She didn't say anything. I don't know. It just seems like either they don't want to like say more about it and they are killing her off or she's going away or whatever. But it just seems like that's the time when people are going to be like, "Are you leaving? Like, you're only in 6 episodes," or like, you know, whatever this and that and blah. So I think she's going to be around, just maybe just limited capacity. And depending on her new show, if that doesn't take off, they'll be like, "Okay, we'll write you back in."
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm reading there's some information about the cast that I think most of this was announced at the panel, but some of it may not. Nadia Hilker as Magna. The leader of a small group of roaming survivors. Now, is that the one that
she has a tattoo on her chest? If you see,
okay,
her.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, Mark, since you know the character, is she also the one that's like lurking around in the window, or is that another character? I couldn't tell.
No, that was her. Okay. That was her breaking what looked to me like Rick's house, Rick and Michonne's house, and she had a knife to sneak in. Mm. So I didn't put that in my notes, but I noticed that right away. I'm like, wow, it's like she's like inquisitive.
Mm. Apparently, she is German, which I did not notice any kind of accent on her, so I guess she's doing, you know, like they seem to do on all the show, get rid of that accent. Lauren Ridloff as Connie, and she is playing that deaf character. Mm-hmm. That is mentioned. I don't see. Oh, okay. Angel Theory as Kelly, Connie's protective sister. I guess that's the one that's like saying that, said that she is modest or something, but I thought that was a boy. No.
It was a black woman, and she was like interpreting.
Yeah.
For her.
I did not even detect that she was female. I thought she was a boy. Anyway, oops. I'll say this. Eleanor Matsura as Yumiko.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see anything about her, but I think I saw her in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing an Asian woman. Dan Fogler as Luke, a survivor who has come to appreciate safety in numbers. I guess that's the music teacher?
Yes.
Okay. Then there's a couple other people that they've mentioned here, but there's a couple. Okay. So the saviors, they mentioned Zach McCowan,
mm-hmm,
as Justin, a hostile savior not interested in working together with the other communities. A bad guy. He's bad. Mm-hmm. Reese Coiro, I guess, Coiro, as Jed, a rebellious member of the Saviors who wants to go back to Negan's ideology. Mm-hmm. So I guess Justin and Jed are two peas in a pod. Yeah, and of course, it's been leaked that John Bernthal would be back. I imagine it's probably going to be a flashback or a dream sequence or something like that, like maybe similar to how the governor was brought back on what happened and what's going on. I think it's the Tyrese final episode. Yeah, so something like that. Yeah, so there were some – okay, so about the trailer, I wrote some notes down. I was taking notes as I was watching it. It starts with a conversation with Rick and Negan. And, you know, we see that they're building, which, you know, I guess they use that, what was it? The Book of the Future or whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maggie's had her baby, so we'll never see Maggie, you know,
in labor.
Judith is there. She's older, but I'd say she's still pretty young. So it's maybe
8 or 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe that was one of the kids in there. Maybe they showed Gracie. I don't know.
Possibly.
I was okay, and they go to DC, which is cool. Like we see like
they're like Capitol. They're like in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting a covered wagon.
Yeah. Yeah, which you know, I thought of you, Kyle, because it seems that gasoline is finally starting to break down. They mentioned that at the panel.
Well, wait. But we do see Daryl and Maggie carrying gas cans.
Yeah.
In the trailer. So there's some gas.
There's some gas, yeah. And Daryl's motorcycle is still working. So so there's obviously some maybe gas, but yeah, or so they've either used it or, you know, it's broken down and for whatever reason that's good gas. I don't know, but
and I don't think Daryl's gonna resort to riding a horse because, you know, it threw him off at, you know, when he was looking for Sophia back in the day. And then he had to see visions of Merle.
Yeah. We see Eugene with a cowboy hat on. I thought originally it was like an Aussie hat, but that's I think it's just a different kind of style of cowboy hat. Yeah. There's a signpost where it has like a, you know, one of those directional signposts, and I saw HQ was HQ the Sanctuary or HQ Sanctuary Alexandria, Oceanside and Toledo. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if that's a joke or if they, you know, maybe that's the Commonwealth. I don't know.
Well, spoiler. For those that don't want to hear it, it's comic spoilers. The group in the comic book, actually it was Eugene, got a ham radio and was talking to somebody in Ohio. So obviously we know that Toledo is in Ohio. So it could be a reference to MASH because look at the signs and how they're geared and they're facing different directions, just like in MASH. Yeah. But also we don't know if the Commonwealth is close. And on top of that, we do see a windmill with something with the Commonwealth on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, is Georgie from the Commonwealth? Is it that close, or was that post sign just like, hey, we're going to make fun of pop culture and just put Toledo on this?
And that could be.
Of Klinger, you know.
Yeah, Klinger. Yeah, that's a good point. That could be what it was. But I noticed no mention on there of the Hilltop or the Kingdom. So I did not see those two on the signposts.
I think they were referencing Hilltop as HQ.
Q? Okay. So maybe the Kingdom is no more?
Possibly.
Yeah. One of the best things that we saw, and I think Mark will agree, we saw Yoga Pants. And we see there was in the teaser as well as the trailer, we see Michonne say to Maggie, you know, we have to figure out how we treat each other and what happens when we don't. So,
yeah, that's also referencing something that will happen this season that will end in somebody's demise that Maggie's a part of.
We see one thing written in the background. It says, "Savior, save us." And then it says, "We are still Negan."
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously indicating those characters that I mentioned earlier. We see Carol, who is a couple interesting things with Carol. Carol and Daryl hugging. So does that mean we're going to finally see Carol and Daryl, you know, shipping? What is the thing for that? Is it Carol or is it Daryl?
Yeah. Because they rhyme.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, but we see her with shorter hair. It's a little bit grayer than it did show before. Of course, Carol still looks beautiful, but we see someone has a knife to her neck, which I didn't like to see. And you know, she's basically facing off with a savior, I guess, with guns pointed at each other. Mm-hmm. Gabriel's eye. So obviously he lost function of the eye from his sickness there. We see Jada slash Anne. I figured I was going to call her Anne, but then I realized most people wouldn't even remember who that is. So I put Jadis slash Ann. First of all, with a completely different haircut. So she's got like almost looks like a perm. And we see her a couple of times. We see her with Tara, who we see – didn't see a lot of her in the trailer. We see her, but we didn't see a lot of her. But we see her walking with Tara, and then we see her taking a bucket off a walker in a kind of a threatening way. So I don't know what's up with that, but and of course we see the helicopter, so we know that's going to play in. We see us. I imagine that's the saviors again saying final warning. There's a big hand to hand fight. Obviously, that's got to be with the saviors. And then there's like a confrontation between Rick and Daryl. You know, are Rick, you know, are we on the same side? You tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So it, and we get the thing with it returning October 7th. And it ends with a new person. And originally I thought it was that music teacher, but looking at it a little closer, I don't think it was. So some other character and Rosita hiding away from a big herd, and they're like they cover themselves with mud. I guess to, you know, hide and you know, not let their scent, you know, carry them off. But we hear walkers, you know, walking away, and it was mentioned at the panel, right, that it was Kirkman mentioned, you know, your cousin there, Mark. So Kirkman mentioned that the zombies were whispering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did either of you guys hear that?
I cranked that up every time I watched it, and I heard it. And it says, "Where are they?" Kind of in a raspiness, so like that.
I did not hear it. And then I did watch it because I was watching on my phone, just have crappy headphones. And then I watched it downstairs on the TV, and I cranked it up. But like, I still couldn't even hear that. But I could hear that the audio was different.
Yeah.
So it almost was like this doesn't sound like a normal herd sound, you know, but I couldn't hear any actual words.
You have to have surround sound, man.
Yeah, like I did not hear it on my same as you when I watched it on my phone, and when I watched it without any headphones on, I couldn't. That's separately. So, you know, I watched it a few times just like in front of a computer screen, but without any headphones on. I couldn't make it out then, and I couldn't make it out on my phone with headphones on. But listening to it now with headphones on, I could hear something that sounded like whispering, but I couldn't make it out. So, I'm not surprised, especially after what Kirkman said at the panel. And I think a lot of people were kind of surprised. They're like, we didn't hear that. So,
yeah. Well, and I think before Comic-Con, I think like there's a scene in the comic that's almost like that scene.
Yeah.
So
it is that exact.
Yeah. And so, but I mean,
it's not those characters.
Mm.
Actually, the characters are people that come from Magna's group, I believe. And, what we do see in the trailer is Eugene and Rosita.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you saying that was
Eugene?
That was Eugene.
It was.
Mullet.
Oh, okay. No wonder I didn't recognize him.
I slowed down the video to see him as he was coming down, and I did a side-by-side, you know, look at it, and I'm like, oh my God, it is him.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't think I said this, but the one big cast member that they mentioned being added was Samantha Morton, who is playing the character of Alpha. And I have to ask, Mark, you may remember this and you may have something to say about it, but a couple seasons back, Maria Bello was interviewed on some show, and she mentioned that she was going to be on the show, and there was a role that they, you know, had made for her. And I thought, like a lot of people thought, that it was going to be Alpha, but I wonder if she lost the role because she said that, you know,
I wouldn't be surprised,
you know. Or it could have just been a scheduling thing, but in any case, yeah. So it's going to be Samantha Morton, and it lists her, at least in Wikipedia. I don't know this for sure, but it lists her as also starring. So we'll see if that's in fact true. But
with the shaved head, she does look like the character Alpha.
Yeah,
because Alpha actually shaves her head and then puts, all right, spoilers, that skin over her face.
Right. And I think it had been announced before, but Callan McAuliffe, who plays Alden, and Avi Nash, who plays Sadiq, are also starring cast. So they've been promoted. I don't know. Do you think Dwight's going to be back, or?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would hope so, but.
Yeah. So.
I would think that they're halfway through their filming right now.
Yeah.
Of the season. So if Dwight does come back, it'd be the latter half.
I got the impression from Comic-Con that, that Andrew Lincoln had done his last scene. Did you guys get that impression, or?
Yeah. Considering he was seen in Connecticut golfing.
Right. Yeah. Well, and seen a few other places. He probably stayed, in the States waiting for Comic-Con, but yeah. Has he been announced for Walker Stalker Con Atlanta?
I have not really looked lately. I hope so, because I'm going to be there.
And hopefully I will. I have applied. I guess I'll mention this now. I was going to wait, but I have applied for press at Walker Stalker Con Atlanta. I am going to my first Walker Stalker Con, finally. because the weekend that Fear comes back is Walker Stalker Con Orlando. I didn't apply for press for that, so I'm just attending as a, I've just got a general admission ticket for that. Actually, I have three extra. So if anyone wants a ticket, it's going to be down in Orlando for next weekend. Drop me a line, send me a message, and I'll. It's just general admission. I don't have VIP tickets, but just let me know. So anyway, yeah, so that's coming, but I did get press for, another, convention that's down here in actually Tampa, and that's, MegaCon Tampa Bay. So that's in September, but notable, the reason why I mention it is because I got press, scheduled right now are Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Christian Serratos. So I'm going to try to get interviews with them, you know, even if they're short, you know, no promises, you know, but I am going to try, you know, so we'll see.
Tell Jeff I said hi.
Have you ever, you never worked on his house, did you?
No, I wish. Yeah. He's a very nice man in general. The one time I met him, I was like, oh my God, he is so nice. Enjoyable to be around.
To explain that, Mark works for a large company that sets up
home theater.
Home theater. So, you know, he's actually worked with some celebrities in the New York, Connecticut area, right? So, yeah. And, in the general area of, JDM and, Redis. And, you know, hopefully someday you'll get to work on them and, you know, get a nice little interview.
Or even just to chat up. I only got to speak to one person that was on The Walking Dead, but they were killed off by Rick and Glenn and Herschel.
Yes, that was the character from Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. All right. So let's see. Is there anything else that we have not discussed about The Walking Dead?
I could go through my rant.
Go ahead.
All right. Just these are just predictions and ideas and thoughts
okay.
from my own head.
Yeah.
I think the beginning of the season will be spent on the different communities coming together. But within that, there's going to be some sort of civil war that breaks out due to the saviors. Those that are still Negan truists that go visit Negan in the prison, as well as Rick and everybody else. I'm pretty sure we're going to see Maggie go down there in the prison and talk to Negan.
I'm sure.
We're going to see Rick. We're going to see Daryl. We're going to see
Michonne.
Carol and Michonne and anybody that wants to say, hey, what the hell did you do? So, and then conflicts will increase between those remnant saviors. But something happens. And as they're trying to we see an environment going on. There's a bridge that's being rebuilt. Mm-hmm. Alexandria is actually being rebuilt. And he's trying to bring some sort of common ground. We do see Jerry with his girlfriend in a tent area. So I'm thinking maybe the kingdom fell in some way.
Yeah.
So maybe the some of the kingdom people are staying in these tents, and maybe within that time they're trying to find them permanent residencies within one of the communities.
We don't see a lot of Ezekiel in the trailer either.
No, we do not. And and to further it, I think with that something happens to Rick. They keep pointing to the idea and alluding within the trailer that somebody's going to kill him. Because we see Maggie with some sort of twisted crowbar that looked like the blacksmith made. And she's banging on something which looks like a walker to me because it's from her point of view, or the walker's point of view, being hit. And then you see Daryl sharpening a knife. But then we see Rick bleeding out on the bridge and everybody running towards him. So you see Carol, Daryl, all these other people. So I don't think it was anybody from the communities that attacked Rick. And we do see the bloody walking shoes. So I think he was attacked, but I think that was like the first Whisperers or maybe a Savior's attack onto Rick because of the whole, you know, the civil war that's going on. And then we see, of course, the helicopter, and we see Anne with the walkie-talkie looking up, and we see that, you know, apple juice symbol thing going on a can that she had back at last season.
When in the trailer do we see that? Because I'm not saying it's not there, but I don't recall seeing that.
It's towards the end.
Towards the end.
Towards the end. You gotta go frame by frame, but you do see her, and she's there with a walkie-talkie, and she's looking up. But it's not from last season. It's a new, it's a new take because it's longer hair.
I nearly did that, actually. I nearly subrooted it and watch it on YouTube at quarter speed, but I didn't get to that point. One thing I didn't mention that I have in the notes here is Michael Cudlitz is actually coming back as a director. So I don't know what episode he is directing, but he will be directing one of the episodes this season. So that's
cool.
Good. And you know, he also has an ABC show coming on. I think it's can't remember the name of it, but it's a sitcom with a big Irish family, I think. He's like the head of a, you know, big Irish family with, you know, 19 sons or some crazy amount. It's not 19, but I just remember he's got a whole bunch of sons. So, so that's cool. I'm glad that he was able to work that in, especially with the new show coming on. So is there anything else that
I think we topped on everything?
Yeah. I think all the stuff that came from it.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to Fear now. So, and that was also a good trailer. Kyle, I know you've got a lot of notes here, more than I think, Mark or I. So why don't you kind of, as our fear correspondent, why don't you take the anchor here?
Okay. And this is not necessarily in any kind of chronological order of the actual trailer, but I was just like kind of thinking of like stuff as I was watching it. But you know, it's like I love, there's that scene with Strand and Alicia drinking together, like just like, you know, Madison and Strand would do. That was kind of a neat, and that's anyways, you know, it's like, can we like talk more about that? Because I think Alicia kind of hinted at, you know, her dealing with, you know, a lot of stuff, obviously, and where that might take her. Just seeing all the new characters. I mean, that trailer, what was so fun about it? It was like, I mean, there was the storm kind of concerns me, but now I feel like that's obviously not going to be like the whole point of the whole back half. It's just be like probably at the beginning or early, but then we get to meet all these new characters, and obviously it's like their little world from, you know, being from the stadium or whatever, like that's opening up because they're obviously out in the, you know, outside of, or you know, in the world now. So it was just like, look, seeing all those new characters, it's like it looks like we're going to get a lot of new characters, and that's going to be fun to see how our group interacts with them. I kind of went down with some of the new characters that are being, you know, brought back, and it's like Aaron Stanford, who was Cole from 12 Monkeys, that just recently ended. who I love. And so seeing him, I pretty much was just like, I don't know, just my mouth dropped. I'm like, yes.
he's really good in that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I liked him in that.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Tonya Tonya Pinkins. She looked familiar, and obviously we see her, like, it seems like she's like on the side of the road talking to Morgan and just saying, what did she say? It was just like something about like, watch yourself, or anyway, she was given some kind of word of wisdoms or whatever to Morgan. But it's just like, I didn't realize it till after the fact that looking her up, she was Ethel Peabody in Gotham. Who I absolutely loved her character in Gotham. Yeah, I was like, okay. And then the next character is Daryl Mitchell, and he was Tommy Weber from Galaxy Crest.
Oh, and I love that movie.
That's my favorite movie of all time. I watch it like over and over again, like pretty much any day. I love it. But no, and I'm like, okay, I'm on board for that.
Scream.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, the thing I remember him from mostly was actually not that. I remember him from a sitcom from the 90s, the John Larroquette Show. He was on that, and he was actually really good in that. But I remember that because that was kind of an offbeat show, like sort of like Night Court, sort of like that was after Night Court, obviously John Larroquette, but I remember him from that. So and he was good in that, but that was actually before his accident, as was Galaxy Quest, right? Because you know, he's actually we're actually seeing it's funny to mention this, but we have a deaf character on The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. and we have a handicapped, you know, a disabled character on Fear. So that's something new we haven't seen before on both shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's and like they said that, you know, at the Comic-Con too. It's just he is really in a wheelchair, you know, and but him being that character, that kind of makes very interesting story to tell.
Circumstances.
I mean, we have seen Herschel, who, you know, was was an amputee, but you know, he still Merle. Okay, and Merle. So we have seen amputees, but they were still, you know, able to move around. So
well, and I think what makes this, just to put it in maybe a different context than The Walking Dead and with Herschel, like this is just like a new character with a new group, and like, you know, who he's with, like we're still kind of in, I mean, they've jumped some time, but we're still in just like where the, you know, there hasn't been a ton of time since the apocalypse has happened, you know, like happened in the world, you know, people are still scattered trying to find, you know, build groups and stuff. So I don't know. It's interesting to see, you know, that kind of a type of character, and I want to see who he's with. You know, I guess he's might be with those trucker people. And then I guess there's Steven Henderson, which I don't know him from. He's Father Leviat, or I can't really say that. Leviat from Lady Bird. But then I looked at his IMDb, and I guess he was like a judge on NCIS and like Law and Order. And I know my husband just loves Law and Order, anything. So I was going to tell him, oh yeah, do you know this guy? He's going to be in Fear. And I don't know who like Mo Collins is. And I looked her up, but I guess she's been in a lot of like single roles, but I'm like Pushing Jay-Z, Chuck, Modern Family, 6 Feet Under. She's been in some other stuff that I, you know, she had more of a role in.
Comedian, you know, so you see, several of her things are, you know, comedic roles. Best known for Mad TV. She was on Mad TV.
Yeah.
So that's where I know her from. But
yeah, and I haven't gotten to see a bunch of Mad TV, but you know,
it's been off for a while. So
yeah, I know.
I always loved that show, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. And then, but the thing that struck me was, you know, at the con, stuff like that, it's like they started spouting off these names. Some of them I've heard, some I had to like, oh yeah, yeah, that's, you know, I had to look them up again. But it's like, to me, I'm like, this is a great cast.
Yeah, like these are, it's an interesting cast.
Yeah. And these, I don't know, I'm excited. It's almost like, wow, you've got some really strong talent that you brought to the show. And, you know, I'm like, I'm just, that just makes things even more, makes me more excited about it.
Yeah. Like, imagine how good they would have been with Madison. I'm still a little bitter about that, I have to admit.
We all are.
Yeah.
It was a decision that was made without asking us.
Well, you know, to the showrunners, you know, the thing is, I guess we'll maybe start getting into this a little bit, just to say that I felt like the decision may have been made by AMC doing focus groups and surveys, you know, because we know that Madison was polarizing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some people loved her, some people hated her, and some people, I would include myself, grew to love her. You know, I didn't care for the character all that much, probably until season 3. And after that, I really did. I think it helped getting the explanation of her darkness and why, you know, the fact that she had killed her, her father.
Her father, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Explained a lot, and we got to see some of that like inner conflict there. But by the end, I felt like we had been manipulated. Like this whole story structure that we saw in the first half, it was all a manipulation. That's why as the season started going on, I was less and less impressed. So like the last episode, you guys have heard me talk about it. I was really annoyed. By episode 7, I was really annoyed. And by the way, Kyle, I have to say, you totally messed up my rating for episode 7. What I really meant, and I gave it a 9, but I was probably too high. Actually, it probably would have been a 7. After I watched it one more time, it went down another 2 points. But it was supposed to be 9 spiteful villains that don't have any lines. And I think you said any license. I'm like, what the hell?
I know, because in the notes, I think there was like a number 8 and sin, so it was like a typo. Okay,
yeah.
I kind of was like...
Yeah. It was definitely a typo, for sure.
And I took my best... yeah, like my it was, best phonetics. You
it,
know, like
it, the- it was funny. But yeah, so, you know, I'm still really annoyed about the decision to kill her off. And, you know, I'm hopeful after seeing the trailer that the story is going to go in a good direction. But I just don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like Sharknado with Zeds.
Yeah. Well, and I saw, Kyle, you had mentioned that about that whole thing. When I first saw it, I thought that was really cool. But seeing it again just now, it does look kind of dumb.
Yeah. I just, from when we first saw like just any kind of a preview, we saw Walker's flying there in the storm, and then, you know, the preview kind of thing after the midseason, you know, it was very, very short, and it was like, huh? And then now it's like, I'm a little bit relieved after Comic-Con that, yes, there is a storm. And yes, even with Nicotero talking about how fun it was to, like, you know, sling the walkers around, stuff like that, which looks to me incredibly, like, stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it looks fake. It looks like a storm does not act that way. You know, you can't just do that. But from what we heard from the Comic-Con, from the group, like, that's not the whole story. The right. trailer definitely shows a whole bunch of other stuff. So this seems to be like what we'll see in the beginning. And then, you know, maybe whatever they're doing, you know, got disrupted, destroyed, wherever shelter they were in, or, you know, looks like they kind of got scattered about. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious though, who wrote on Morgan's head? Was that Strand when he was drunk? Because apparently, when I looked at the trailer, there was like a body with written like Sharpie on him.
Yeah. Just
like Morgan.
Yeah. There was a body out in the field. And I guess, I don't know if that's like someone that died in the storm that came through, or was that, you know, we don't know. I couldn't read what the writing said on there. I just couldn't see it off my phone. So maybe that's who the new bad guys are.
Yeah, I lose people. I lose myself.
Yeah.
You know what it should have said?
What?
You know what it is.
I love that.
Yep. That's what I should have said. Yeah, so there's some other notes we've got down from here, just looking at it.
Do you want to go into the con, or do you want to still talk about
this? Yeah, let's go back and forth between the con and the trailer a little bit, just reading stuff down that we've got here. Kim Dickens, not at the Comic-Con. That was a little surprising, I thought.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess I know why. And they certainly did talk about her character a lot. Mm-hmm. And for that matter, Kim Dickens. I feel kind of especially Lenny James, Garrett Dillahunt, you know, those two didn't get to play at all with Kim Dickens, which, you know, and it's so stupid because like the banners and stuff like that had Morgan right behind Madison, you know, to promote season 4. And I was looking at the poster from the Survival Sunday, and, you know, he also plays into that as well. You know, so it's unfortunate, you know, that they didn't really get to work with her.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been amazing, especially, well, both Garrett and Lenny working with her, because, well, Garrett Dillahunt, you know, worked with her in the past, like, I guess, Deadwood. Yep. And of course, Lenny James, you know, never did, but they're two great actors. So I guess, is Lenny James now the star of the show?
I'm assuming so.
It seems that way, right?
That's what I'm assuming.
Him and Garrett Dillahunt seem to be like the stars.
What about Alicia Debnam Carey?
I'm hoping her character will take up where her mother left off.
Yeah. And
hopefully, you know, she's the last surviving Clark of the show. Strand, I have this funny feeling his days are numbered.
I had an interesting thought that in both shows, we have Carl dying, Nick died, we have Madison died, and we have Rick either dying or leaving or whatever. So basically, in both shows, we lost the sons and the lead character, the lead parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny, don't you think?
Hmm? Yeah, it's a good correlation between both shows.
Yeah.
And there's another correlation, and that's Gimple.
Gimple Gate.
Gimple.
Yeah.
Honestly, I do like Gimple. You know, he did do something better from the last showrunner when he took off, and he had three great seasons, but something fell off on the end. And I thought when they made him the show, not showrunner, but the overseer of the series or the combined universe,
yeah,
as it were, I'm thinking that they think he has a good idea of overall perspective. And I think Robert had something to do with that.
Yeah, I think so. And clearly they must have a good working relationship, especially, you know, now that they're working comic book together. That's a good indicator. You know, so to me, like, I think Gimple on The Walking Dead, you know, certainly he was a great writer. He wrote some of the best episodes from season 2 and 3 before he was a showrunner. I think he did a great job in seasons 4 and 5. Season 6, while there were great episodes, that's when the wheels started to squeak. You know, we had the dumpster stuff and the way things ended in season 6. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people started tuning away season 7, you know, season 8, we know all about. Like, all of them had highlights, you know, but,
yeah.
But you know, we've also had a dwindling viewership, you know. So I think some of that is on him. Some of it's a natural thing, you know, natural progression. Things kind of, you know, fall out of favor,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, yeah, with Fear, the third season took off and gained viewers, and people started liking it, and they loved where the focus was going. Now with season 4, people are up and down. It's like a roller coaster. It's almost similar to where we were around season 3 of the original show.
Are you going to mute yourself, Brian?
I did mute myself, didn't I?
No, I could hear you.
You could hear me chewing?
Yes. And I don't see it muted on your thing.
Damn it. Okay, hold on a second.
With that, we digress. We move on to Coleman Domingo directing an episode of Fear of the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. That will be fun.
Yeah, and that was something that had been mentioned prior to the conference or convention. Sorry, conference. yeah, I guess he's directing episode 12, and apparently Lou Diamond Phillips, who was a guest on Talking Dead, I think last season, he's directing an episode. So that's kind of interesting.
I love that idea.
I know his last show, Longmire, right? He was on Longmire.
Yes.
That's done, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, that ended. My mother loved that show, and yeah, she still loves that show. And it was very well written, very well done and produced.
That was on A&E, and then it moved to Netflix the last couple seasons, right?
Yeah, they ended it very well. My mother keeps trying to get me to watch it, but there's so much to watch.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
You had mentioned something about go ahead.
No, I was looking at my next thing I put in. It's like, what's with this Morgan pooping shot or scene? and then they just kept referring to it as like the bog. I'm like, I mean, I'm guessing that's not what it is, but
no. The bog usually in England is referred to as the loo at times.
Oh, okay. Well, there's Al has a tape called the bog.
Yeah.
But that was before Morgan showed up. So anyways, but yeah, they went on about that at the panel, and I'm like, okay.
And they had to get his clearance too to actually film that. So what happened in that bog?
Well, yeah, so I just, somewhere we see Morgan taking a dump. So I guess we just have to tune in to see.
Well, it's about time that we see that, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we don't see anybody using the restroom, I guess. And
because I imagine there's issues with toilet paper, for example. It's like, you know, how do you wipe yourself in a zombie apocalypse? You know?
Yeah.
Dirty rag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
Well, and then just to move forward, I liked when like Greg Nicotero like was talking, like I think this was actually from a audience question, was asking about the difference between the walkers from the main show to, you know, Fear. And it was interesting to hear him talk about how, like, you know, in Georgia it's just like so hot, so everybody's like sweating, and so they have to do a lot more to keep that, the, you know, all the makeup on. But then I guess, you know, when they shoot in Austin for Fear, you know, it's a different, you know, it's still what, early spring, I guess, maybe. Or he was saying, you know, it's like it's colder, which Texas gets really hot, but yeah, if it's like early spring, it probably is like a lot colder.
Yeah. I mean, I think they film, they shoot in the
late fall,
winter, and early spring, so it's not, it's on the colder months. So
yeah, but he was talking about how they get to do different things because all the makeup sticks and they don't have to worry about that. So that, I don't know, it's kind of cool because he kept referring to like they use kind of the same team to come over and do all that work, but it's like he says the walkers look different in Fear than they do in the main show. So that is interesting.
Well, you have to think about it with the main show, they're jumping ahead years now. I think it's about 2 years in season 9. Mm-hmm. And there's supposed to be another time jump after that, maybe 5 years after that, sometime within season 9. So with Fear, it's still within probably about 3 years. Mm. So the walkers still look somewhat fresh in some way.
Yeah.
And then you have the new dead that's out there. It's like, oh, wait, hold on. John Dory just killed somebody. So now we have a walker walking around, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have somebody who's new. But you're going to see somebody who was killed recently within that time. And they have to follow that through with some sort of timestamp, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. I mean, we do get to see a lot of that progression with like what seems to be older walkers and how much they've just fallen apart, or, you know, like,
yeah,
that's kind of stuff.
I just hope we don't see a dunny walker, you know, somebody from a latrine. no poop jokes.
No. Nope. Oh,
yeah, we don't need to see that.
Yeah, nah. I agree.
Although I have thought about that, like there has to be waste products coming off of walkers. But I don't know if I need to see that.
Yeah.
I have to think though that had a hand in making Gabriel sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What else? What else you got?
I thought it was interesting from the panel when Coleman Domingo was talking about, you know, Strand and like, I guess finding, you know, they were asking us like, you know, how, I guess him finding the mansion. And of course, I guess this mansion had a wine cellar, which I could see that in, you know,
I see it all the time.
Yeah, so there you can vouch. It's like mansions probably do have like a big wine cellar. And,
oh my god, that's ridiculous.
my style and vintage.
But what a perfect place for Strand to go to basically get over or to deal with, losing Madison. But I thought it was interesting about him talking about everybody being in a process. And basically, it's is this place going to be just kind of a place where he's going to be just able to think about stuff, or is it going to be a prison? And so I'm kind of in that same camp, Mark, too, where it's like, I feel that he's taken probably Madison's death maybe harder than the rest, or, there's going to be some challenges, that he's going to have to face, and whether or not he actually comes out above that or not. So, it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like when you see Morgan walking up and we had the sneak preview.
Yeah.
of Strand looking out the window, and he's got the wine and he's got the goblet in his hand, or the glass. And it's like, oh, the door's open. I was like, oh my God, he is speech to the wind. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really love the character, but I think since Madison's departure and where they're going,
mm-hmm.
he's starting to lose it a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're trying to come together as a family. You could see that in a trailer in some way, because that kid, oh my God, she's always there and prevalent, and I just want her gone.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it's like, then you have Alicia, and you see Alicia drinking with Strand.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't want to see Alicia go, because she's last of the Clark family. But you see a little bit of turmoil with June.
Mm-hmm.
And how she didn't want to go a certain way. And I don't know who she was talking to in the scene, but I was thinking she was talking to John.
Yes. Sorry. And for those of you that don't remember, June / Naomi / Laura.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing from the trailer too. And just Alicia does talk about her character is going to get worse before she gets better. So that does make me feel that she is going to stick around, but then obviously she's going to go through some kind of whatever, that's going to challenge her.
Yeah.
We do see that scene where Morgan is going up to the mansion. He's almost scouting out a new place. It's not like he's walking up to be oh, hey, Strand. He's looking for somebody and then sees Strand. Then we do see Maggie Grace. Elfman wasn't she with Charlie, or there was some scene Charlie's in this back of a truck or something in the middle of some road.
Yeah.
And so we get all these scenes, and it seems like everybody's split up or something happened, and there are, I don't know, it just looked like our group somehow got scattered, mm-hmm. and are running, across all these new characters. And then, was that because of the storm? Is everybody just saying, hey, no, I'm going to just take it my way and go try to survive myself? But I don't know. I found that interesting where everybody was in a different kind of setting.
Yeah.
Well, as long as David Hasselhoff doesn't show up from the NATO or Ian Searing and saying, we're here to take care of business, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Didn't Z Nation have an episode where they had a hurricane or a tornado or something like that?
They dealt with more of winter.
Okay.
And one episode where it was up in
They shoot, yeah, I mean they shoot in Spokane, so that is one advantage of shooting up there, that they can actually film the winter, unlike Atlanta, mm-hmm. Where it's 98 degrees in the shade.
Well, that was something that I always wanted to see in the actual Prime show.
Oh yeah, me too.
The original show, because in the comic books they had several
winters
and the actual comic book issues,
yeah.
And we never saw that.
Yeah, and they're. supposed to be in Northern Virginia. And, you know, unlike Atlanta, Northern Virginia does get a winner. Atlanta gets a winner. It just doesn't get, you know, cold enough for snow most winters. Or if it does, it'll get an inch and shut down the city, from what I understand. But you know, in DC, they definitely do get, you know, big storms there. So it would be nice to see that, but I guess we'll never see it.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Just another point from the panel as well, as Maggie Grace was talking about, like, risking love, you know, and that through the apocalypse, you don't get to choose your tribe. You know, she was they brought up love a lot. So I was just thinking that, are they going to come together in the end and be our core group? Like, you know, that's kind of where I got, was there something then that must have split them apart? But then, you know, we do see them come back together and form our core again. And we know that there's a baddie, because I said so in the panel, the showrunners did. And Aaron Stanford was in two scenes where he looks like he's fighting with someone, or, you know, I don't know. He looks like he was with Naomi June Laura in a scene, like she was in the background. Mm-hmm. So I'm only kind of assuming that that's who they're talking about. He's going to be whoever their next antagonist is.
Isn't it Sanford? I thought it was Sanford.
Or if Sanford, I did this on my phone. I might have typed it in wrong.
Sanford and Son?
Da-da-da-da. You know, it's funny because at my new job, I work with a guy by the name of Ed Sanford, and I can't help but think of Fred Sanford every time I see his name. Sorry, Ed, if you listen, I don't think you do, but
yeah.
What does it say here?
You also mentioned something about the storm coming in early in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like how they were talking about it, and also kind of how the trailer seemed to fit. It was like, it seems like that's probably going to be our first thing that we see, and that will just do whatever by either splitting everybody up, or, you know, like we do see Al's big SWAT vehicle in the middle of a road, and there's just, you know, stuff destroyed around her. So I'm feeling like we're going to see that, if not in the first episode. And then we'll move on from there.
Before we go any further, I have to say, Brian, it is Stanford, not Sanford.
Okay.
So you were right. I was wrong.
Oh, well, I might have typed it in wrong.
No, you didn't.
Okay, so it is correct.
You had it correct. I was the one that thought his name was Sanford. So, anyway.
So, Kyle, you're saying it's raining Zeds. Hallelujah.
Oh, no. No, I know. I'm like, I almost kind of like have to cut some of that. So, let me start back over again. And from what we see in the trailer, there's like a lot of things happening. So, you know, it's like, I just feel like that's going to be at the beginning. And then that will, I guess, then the rest of the story will then follow. Because of like, if we get more than one episode of It's Raining Zeds, Hallelujah. I guess I should do that. It's Raining Zeds, Hallelujah. Then like that would really deeply hurt my ratings for this show, and I don't want that.
Well, honestly, the Prime show had that in the elements when they met Aaron.
Yeah, but it was not these walkers in really fake ways being pulled up in the air and then landing on the, you know, like, you know, yeah, they were all in that barn and the storm came through, and then they were holding that, you know, the door, the gate, to keep them from coming in. Mm-hmm. Like, that made sense and was, you know, like, exciting. But what we're seeing from the trailer is they're doing all this really kind of cheesy gag, you know, because I mean, there's a one part where the walker's walking up by a car or a van, or maybe it's Al's truck, and then it just gets sucked out of the air. I mean, it does not look good.
It's they're cashing in on the Sharknado.
Yeah, and
they probably only do it for one episode, and they're probably going to try to make it look like the elements are a major factor too, mm-hmm. for the characters, which we haven't really seen much in the Prime show.
No, that's true. So, like, if you know, like, the storm comes and then it, you know, destroys a lot of, like, basically the structures and foundations or whatever, that's fine. You know, you do see some of the characters are actually, like, they look like they're scavenging through just debris. So, I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Were you referring to this, Kyle?
It's raining men.
Yes.
Yep.
That exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, I knew I had that because I had played that in a past episode, but it took me a little while to find that one. So I see one point. You were talking about Al earlier, and there's a related point from a question at the panel.
One of the fans, a girl, she asked if Al is gay, and then she also was just like, I hope so.
Yeah.
And they didn't really say, they kind of just made it very, like, non-answering, which is fine, but, you know, it's like, I kind of got that from Al's character in the beginning, but I just feel like, though, that would have been something that when they casted her, they would have mentioned. I mean, I don't know, because it's, you know, gays are in trend now. So,
yeah,
you know, in a PR kind of thing, you would be like, oh, and she's gay. Whether or not it actually comes up to being like a deciding thing of her character's, like, you know, deal. So,
I thought that question came out of left field. Only in the fact that I didn't anticipate that particular question when it came.
Yeah.
So I'm like, huh?
I mean, they do talk about, you know, we don't know really Al's story. We don't know what, if she had family, then you brought that up, you know? So it's like, it's true. We don't know really anything about her other than she just showed up and she likes new people.
And she likes to film people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so, and, you know, she has been asked a couple of times, what's her story? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, you know, if that does come up, okay, fine. To me, I'm like, it was just interesting coming, you know, for that obviously I'm not the only one that may have thought that, or they just, you know, we want a gay character.
I don't know, though. I mean, just because she's a strong character with kind of a butchy haircut.
It doesn't.
To me, that doesn't make her gay. And if she's gay, I'm fine with it. I don't know. I never got that impression. I think
she was more concerned about her tapes.
Yes.
But you actually talk about Gimple taking about, you know, talking about Fear the Walking Dead and the regular Walking Dead timelines.
Leapfrog. Yeah. That was very interesting for him to say, which that makes also, that's not that I don't like dislike Gimple, but yeah, I just feel like he's done some things that have really kind of been shady and questionable. So it does kind of give me that, if it comes out of his mouth, you know, I'm almost kind of, I just don't trust him.
Well, yeah. And given, just, you know, his track record, he's kind of, you know, done things in a manipulative way. The dumpster and the holding back of the deaths of Glenn and Abraham, you know, I think are two classic examples of it. That
like he's manipulated us in ways that it was like, oh, to get more ratings. Yeah. Oh, because the AMC brass wanted to cash in.
Yeah.
To,
and know, like I said, stuff. And like I said earlier, when I look at the half season as a whole right now, or at least, you know, certainly after the mid-season finale, I felt very manipulated. You know, and I listened back prior to us recording. I listened to the two episodes that you guys did without me. And it was funny, Mark, I don't know if you remember saying this, but you said, you know, I hope they don't, like, you know, say that she's dead at the end of the episode or something. And it was pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So,
and then she played the whole Jurassic Park thing at the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, and we're not going to do a news section this week because practically the whole damn episode is news, but it is worth saying that, you know, Kim Dickens on Talking Dead mentioned something about a Deadwood movie, and apparently that is shooting in, I think, in September. So they're doing a 2-hour movie, and it is a go. It doesn't necessarily mean that all of the characters, you know, or all the actors have signed on, but it is going forth. So I've not watched the show, but I've heard nothing but good things, including people urging me to watch the show. So I will at some point, but yeah, in fact, I think Mark Kat was urging me to watch the show. So
oh yeah, definitely. I really need to watch the show. I haven't watched it. I only watched like maybe 5 episodes when my father was alive and he was sick with cancer, and we'd just sit and we'd watch, and that was his thing. Western, yeah. But you know, it got me interested when Kat mentioned it, and I'm like, oh, I should really watch it. And just, you know, she goes, yeah, it's really good TV, so
yeah,
I'll watch it.
Especially you can watch
add it
with
my list.
Yeah, so
back to the Gimple thing, because of what he was saying was that, like, someone asked him about the time about fear and the Walking Dead, or just like the time frame, like when was it or whatever. And so he does mention that it's like at this point, you know, they've been leapfrogging a lot of each other.
Yeah.
But he said our windows together will be brief, but it will happen.
Well, and yeah.
Does that mean?
Well, the way I look at it, that the beginning of season 4 started ahead of the end of season 8. Of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we know that from that point, some time had passed prior to Morgan leaving, and then Morgan leaving and getting to Texas took some time. So it may be a year ahead, but then we know come season 9, The Walking Dead's probably going to go 3, 4, 5 years ahead. So it's going to end up ahead of fear again.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm thinking, but.
And that makes sense. And I just, you know, again, what does that, like, don't be playing tricks with us. Like, are we having another crossover, or are we going to see some kind of scene, you know, but what you're explaining makes more sense. It's like, yeah, in the whole universe, then fear was ahead of Walking Dead, because then one more Morgan, obviously it took some time for him to travel. Right. So during that time, you know, The Walking Dead, they're doing stuff, and maybe that's what we'll see at this, you know, startup season 9.
Yeah. And at some point, The Walking Dead's going to leap forward ahead of fear, and we don't know how much time's going to pass with season 4B. What we do know, I mentioned earlier that Walking Dead's coming back October 7th, which is actually earlier than it's ever come back. I think the earliest it had come back was like the 13th or something like that, or the
14th. Yeah, the 14th or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, you know, technically the first week of October. So that's the soonest it will come back. And we know that fear comes back on the 12th. So that means either one of two things. Either Fear is not going to take a Labor Day break, and it's going to play for 8 weeks straight and end on September 30th, I guess. Mm-hmm. My math is correct. Or it's going to take that week off for Labor Day weekend, and that would mean that the two shows will do another Survival Sunday kind of thing. So, and obviously, you know, they may be doing that ahead of the World Series, timing wise. I don't know.
Well, the World Series would happen more at the end of October.
It's, right. Right.
So, yeah. Right. But, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's why they did it or,
yeah.
Or just timing wise, who knows? But yeah. it seems like the shows are either going to do like they did this season, or they're going to, you know, we're going to have 8 weeks of Fear followed by 8 weeks of Walking Dead. So we're going to be busy the next 16 weeks or so.
Yep.
Well, here's a bigger question.
Yes.
Do you think we're going to have extended episodes of the actual Walking Dead?
I wouldn't see why not. I mean, we've done that.
Yeah,
we've been doing that the last couple of seasons. So
maybe that is a reason why they're doing this. So that way, because a lot of fans were like, "Wait a minute, we're getting all these extended episodes, but we haven't really seen much," and maybe they're trying to put as much as they can as far as content to fulfill our needs.
What do you think? You think we might have like extra long episodes?
Definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes over the hour and 20 minute mark on the season premiere.
I'm not opposed to that I'd be okay with that. But what I don't want is more of this crap of Talking Dead, you know, premiering at 11 o'clock or even later. I certainly don't want that. I mean, if Fear ends the same week as The Walking Dead premieres, I'm okay with it if they do it then, but I don't want to see that again. I think maybe we'll do it a little differently this season and not do four freaking episodes in a single week. That was crazy.
Or it could be Into the Sadlands.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I don't like that show either.
Yeah. Okay, looking at the notes, is there anything that we haven't talked about except for this last thing?
I think we should get to the last
thing. Yeah, let's get to the last thing. So it's been a big story. It happened actually, I think it was it released the night that you guys recorded. But unfortunately, you know, you guys didn't know about it, so we didn't cover it. We haven't been able to do an episode since, thanks to me. But basically, you know, Chris Hardwick had been relieved or at least suspended of his Talking Dead hosting, and his show Talking with Chris Hardwick has been off the air. It was supposed to be airing during the off season. Because of an anonymous Medium post by an ex-girlfriend, Chloe Dykstra. Oh, you know, speaking of that, I forgot to mention her. His wife, Lydia Hurst, is actually a character. Has now taken a role on Z Nation. I was surprised to see that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're a zombie family for sure. But anyway, so So the this letter, you know, basically accused him, but not by name, of abusing her both verbally, you know, mentally abusing her, and sexually assaulting her. And I don't want to make light of that because those were serious allegations. I was pretty bummed about it. And I was actually, the thing about it, just to talk about Chris Hardwick for a minute. I mean, yeah, we all know him from Talking Dead. I haven't counted it out, but you know, he's been on there for way over 100 episodes between the two shows. So, you know, it's probably close to 150 episodes of him on there. I don't know exactly the amount, but certainly way over 100. And I also know him from the Nerdist podcast, which is now called Idiot ID10T. So, but anyway, you know, I this is a guy based on those two things. Like, I feel like I've known him for the past several years. So, like, it just to me didn't feel like this was a guy capable of doing that. So I had, and I had also heard him on the Nerdist podcast talk a little bit about his relationship with his wife and the relationship he had just gotten out of, which obviously was with her. And it made me suspect remembering that. So anyway, I guess we'll take it from there, just because there's obviously been news that has come out in the last day or so. But when you guys heard this, like, what did you think?
I've known or been a fan of Chris Hardwick forever and ever and ever. I mean, he used to be on Attack of the Show.
Right.
And like, right. And also like Tech TV, I believe, like for way back when.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so I'm like, he's always been, you know, that geek in my world that, you know, I really like respected or just thought he had the coolest job ever.
And singled out, he was on MTV.
Yeah. But, I just, you know, it's kind of hard because it's like, I don't want to say something that then gets me in trouble when it's just like,
yeah,
like we're in that time when the Me Too now, you know, movement has happened.
Right.
We've have all these like political figures, these, you know, people like, you know, famous people, rich people, all this stuff that have been taking advantage of the power that they, you know, have. And
yeah,
you know, this is a human thing that's been going on forever and ever, and I'm kind of glad that it has come out to light.
Yeah, I agree.
So when hearing the news, it just took me aback, but then I was also like, well, I mean, you know, it's not my place to be the judge, jury, and executioner. So I'm like, I just, you know, hope this isn't true. I read that, you know, article or the post, you know, it did come off being like, this is really specific. It sounds really bad. But, you know, it's like, also other people do have other motivations to try to, you know, tear someone down or attack them. Yeah. So I just wanted to like, you know, hey, AMC did what they needed to do.
Yeah.
Take a step back, and then they've done their research and they would not have put him back if they did not believe that this wasn't warranted, or, you know, that's their decision. So,
right.
You know, not to say that it's a closed case,
right.
But it's like, this is the decision, you know, we don't have the information. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, I'm like, I'm happy he's back. And, you know, I just, you know, I feel like we can all probably relate to certain degrees in being accused of something and there being no proof behind it, but yet you can be totally tried by just the public, you know, outcry or whatever. Right. Go on Twitter. Oh my gosh. Right. Twitter's like the worst like cesspool of like humans.
Yeah. YouTube.
YouTube comments.
Well. Yeah.
Which we might want to think about when we're just thinking about moving over to YouTube.
Oh God.
Honestly, what you do on YouTube stays on YouTube. So,
Mark, what do you think?
Honestly, I've been following. I've been listening to Chris Hardwick on the Nerdist since I started listening to Jason and Karen's podcast years ago. So you're talking over 5 years. So as long as that, and as well as Kevin Smith. But the thing is that Chris has always been the consummate entertainer. Every time he does a podcast, he's always sincere in who he is. Mm-hmm. I don't really see any fakeness in it.
Yeah.
And he kind of presents that way when he was doing The Talking Dead.
Right.
As well when he does talk with Chris Hardwick. When
right.
He started that. Kind of like what Kevin Smith and there was another show that he had done talking about pop culture.
Right.
But Geeking you know, out. Honestly, I love it. You know, it's like he's just who he is. And that's what I always got. Even on his YouTube channels, if you watch. And him and Chloe actually did. They bowled with Matt Smith's Doctor Who, the producers. I think Karen Gillan was there, and the guy who played Rory. And it seemed very natural, very understanding, and very who he is as a person in general. What happens behind closed doors, we don't know.
No,
I always think of it this way. There's always three sides to any story. There's the one person, and then the other person, and then there's the truth.
Right.
Because this could go for heterosexual, bisexual, homosexual, or lesbian, or whatever marriage or social outcome. And honestly, we don't know. There's only one real truth to everything. And people could have a split idea of what really happened based upon said events.
Right.
So a lot of it is showing in his respect at this point for AMC to actually come in and investigate and probably talk to him several times.
Mm-hmm.
And then where was Chloe in all this? We have not seen anything. She's kind of been devoid of any social media in any way, whether it be Twitter or blogging or Facebook or anything. But the same goes for Chris. But he actually, when he announced it, I actually tweeted out to him, "I miss your podcast. I miss you. Please put out a podcast," because I don't know if ID10T will be doing that again, or if AMC is going to be doing that. But the thing is that he already created himself a character within that universe. And she's still a struggling actress. Whether or not he put her in that situation, I don't know.
Yeah.
And honestly, my perspective of her is based upon her lineage. She's the daughter, I believe, John Dykstra, who created the lightsaber and was part of Star Wars.
Oh,
and
wow.
A lot of her fame comes from her father's name. And, you know, she is a beautiful woman. Yes, she is young, but she was also seeking out fame.
Right.
And did she date Chris based upon this? We don't know. And we don't know if Chris sought her out. And you could see a lot of the things on their social media platforms of Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all that good stuff of them supporting one another within that time.
Yeah.
Maybe she was in a bad place at that time. We don't know. Maybe he is still struggling with his addiction, but because he is a self-professed alcoholic and recovering alcoholic.
Right.
And after that relationship separated, he wound up, you know, marrying somebody. Yes, they are esteemed and they come from a lineage of great wealth or renowned name, but honestly, you know, they seem good together. You don't see Lydia saying anything of I'm being abused or I did this or he did this to me. Nothing.
Yeah. In fact, Patty Hearst, the famous Patty Hearst from the kidnapping in the '70s and you know, the Stockholm syndrome kind of Simonese Liberation Army. She ended up with they were the ones that kidnapped her, and anyway, heir to the Hearst fortune, and of course, you know, so Lydia, I mean, Chris Hardwick married pretty well, is worth saying, but yeah. So I mean, Patty Hearst said, you know, wonderful things about him, and I'm sure if there had been anything going on in any negative way, she would not have come to his, you know, to
his aid,
you know, right away. I mean, she was very early on, saying positive things about him, and, you know, and so it's clear that they have a good, I think a good marriage there. But it doesn't mean that there wasn't some bad things going on with Chris and Chloe. I don't want to say, you know, that these things didn't happen. We don't know what happened there. And we don't know what's involved with getting him back on the show. Maybe he's going through counseling on this. And, you know, I think I said it in the notes here that I hope that both of them are going through counseling on this, no matter what actual thing happened, because I think that this is a thing that you should get some help, just talking it over, because I mean, it's great that he's getting his show back, but you know, he could have lost everything with this. And I was really worried about him, like, because I knew that he was an alcoholic. I was worried about him losing his sobriety over this. And I still worry about that because, you know, this is the kind of triggering event that could happen with that, that could cause that. And certainly, I mean, Chloe, if she thinks that this happened, you know, whether it did or it didn't, if she feels that way, then that's, to me, that also needs to be addressed, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So you know, like I say, because it could have happened, it could not have happened, but and we don't know why she posted it if it didn't happen. But the point being, if she felt that it really happened, she needs to seek help as well. So.
I think on both parts, and I, as you said, they both need to come together and talk it out. And hopefully that's what has transpired, and that's what brought AMC back to bringing him back, but they're not releasing anything regarding that.
And nor should they. You know, I have a feeling that he will say something on his returning show, but just probably, you know, thanking people for their support and leave it at that.
At that, yeah.
And to me, if he says anything more about it, I'll be surprised. But I think just thanking people for the support that he got, because I know he got a lot of support, but so did she. And again, this is a very difficult thing to say, but I really wanted to address it. It's been kind of, there that to talk about, but it is a serious thing. If women, men, anyone is being abused, you do need to come forward with it. There is no tolerance for it. But at the same time, again, difficult thing to say, but I mean, if she did this out of spite or whatever, you know, I'm glad that, you know, it got resolved in a positive way. I mean, I'm really glad that he's back. We don't know the whole story there. I just want the people involved to get help, in however way that they need it. I hope Chloe Dykstra, you know, recovers from this in whatever way that she needs to. Anyway, I wish everyone well. And
same here. I want both parties to be happy.
Yeah. And also worth saying again that I don't want this to look to kind of put a halt at these things, because, you know, there've been a lot of disgusting people over the years that did disgusting behaviors that, you know, a lot of like, what's his name? Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, which I was really surprised about. You know, what's his name? Louis C.K. You know, a lot of these people, you know, and of course Bill Cosby. They, you know, once the story came out, then there was another one and another one and another one. You know,
I know, it was like endless.
Yeah, but in the case of Chris, this was a single thing. No one seemed to corroborate this kind of behavior. So, I mean,
I would just want to add, like, you know, like we as our society and as our, you know, like where we live, we have institutions, we have, you know, governance, we have people in charge of this stuff, like police, like, you know, like therapists, like whatever, that like using the internet as your platform is also very dangerous too. Cause
yeah,
like there's no verification, you know, it's so easy just to post something up and, you know, like anonymously, or you do put your name onto it, you know, and us as viewers, as fans, like you do, just like growing up, it's like, don't believe everything you see on TV.
Right.
It's like, don't believe everything you see on the internet, because it's too easy to manipulate. You know, we're already going through that in this country with fake news and the Russian meddling. But you know, like people do need to at least have that kind of view when you hear this stuff. It's right. Like, if we were hearing this coming from the mouth of AMC saying so-and-so brought up a legal complaint or whatever, like, then there's something there. But just posting it up on a website and then letting, you know, the rumor gossip mill on Twitter spread it all.
Well, it was actually, it's a blog post that she did it on. But regardless, you know, look at our own president. You know, he posts everything and there's no collusion and all this other nonsense. But the thing is, in the end, everything will filter out. The truth will come out in some way.
Right.
And if Chris is a consummate man, he will admit to something and some sort of feedback on a show when he comes back. Hopefully Chloe will be there to corroborate or at least enhance that and say we've come to terms and we've realized what was going on. You know, but like I said, there's three stories to every thing that happens. You know, you got in this case it's his, hers, and then the truth. But in this case they have to sit down. That's the whole thing.
Well, whether or not we'll see that happen in public, I have my doubts, actually, Mark. I don't think we will, but
no, I don't think so.
And for that
either.
Matter, I mean, I wouldn't blame Chris Hardwick for basically if he never wanted to ever see her again. You know, depending upon the situation. And again, I say those things that I, not knowing everything, and I don't want to draw conclusions like a lot of people do. But I wouldn't be surprised if that never happens. So
yeah, it's AMC already has made a statement. He's coming back. Yeah. Whether, yeah, it almost kind of like leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. And I, goodwill for him and goodwill for her. You know, I mm-hmm. just hope everything is resolved in the end.
Yep. Yeah. And abuse is not, shouldn't be tolerated in any form. No. And if you are in an abusive situation, get out of it. Number one, and you know, the abusers shouldn't get away with it. So conclusion, I would have to think that if there was, I would have to think that if AMC is willing to bring him back, that they feel very confident that, that either it's not going to happen again or that it's not happened. So, but regardless, I feel like I'm saying this over and over again, simply because I don't want to be labeled as whatever. Cause you know, with this, it's a serious matter. We don't know what, we don't know what really happened. And, but I'm happy with the result. Yeah. So I think we beat this to death.
yeah, we did.
Yeah. All right. So do you guys have anything else? Have anything else to say?
I think that was probably it.
All right. So what do you guys, listeners, what do you think of what we've brought up? We'd certainly, you know, love to hear what you guys think. And of course, when we come back in a couple of weeks for the actual Fear mid-season premiere, we certainly want to hear you then. So many different ways to get that feedback to us. First of all, if you want to submit, audio to us, great way to do that is through goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. You can also call the GSM phone line, which is 304-837-2278. On that feedback page, there is a SpeakPipe widget, so you can actually just send us a message through your phone as well. So, and of course, most feedback that we get is from the Facebook group. We'll put a episode thread on the Facebook group just before the episode airs. I don't know if I'm going to do it this time because I'll be coming back from Orlando. So I may ask you guys to do it.
Take care of it.
But if you're not a member of the group, it's at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadGSM. Tentatively, you know, given our usual schedule, the feedback deadline will be Tuesday, August 14th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. You can also reach us by Twitter at Walking Dead GSM, GSM being the Golden Spiral Media Network that we're on. To support us, it's been a while since we've gotten a review in Apple Podcasts, but you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple, which will give you a link to all the Golden Spiral Media podcasts. You can help us out in Apple Podcasts by leaving us a 5-star rating and or review. That just helps other people find us, especially in the sea of Walking Dead podcasts, which have existed, still exist, or will exist. So just, you know, help us out. I think we do a good job. So hopefully you do too. Support us by helping out the network at goldenspiralmedia.com/support. Maybe I'll do a GoFundMe to get a new TV. I scratched my TV, got scratched in the move.
Oh,
I have not replaced it yet. Mm-hmm. So, I mentioned earlier that I will be at Walker Stalker Con Orlando on the 11th and 12th. So if you're there, say hi. And also one other thing I wanted to mention is, last week I got my first bill from Spectrum here. And even though it was supposed to be a lot cheaper, I got this enormous bill So I have cut the cord. So I am simply just streaming. So before the next episode comes out, I'm going to pick a streaming service provider, Sling TV or
YouTube. There's so many options now.
TV, yeah. Or PlayStation Now, PlayStation View, Hulu, you know.
AT&T has one, DirecTV Now. Yeah.
So if you guys have had any experience with any of those, I'd love to hear your experience, especially if you have one you can recommend, because I will be getting one in the next week or so. So in addition to this, I should say that I will be doing a podcast. It might be recorded this week. It may end up waiting until next week because Ruthie hasn't been available to do it. But there's been a ton of news and an incredible trailer on Star Trek Discovery at Comic-Con. It was Friday was a busy day for me because I was having to, right after work, find out about The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, and Star Trek Discovery, which had back-to-back-to-back panels at Hall H. So, and it had an amazing trailer, which I know you guys have seen and you seem to agree. So Ruthie and I will be doing an episode either this week or if she can't, because I've been trying to schedule something with her, but she hasn't been able to. So it may end up drifting into next week. And next week is the big Star Trek Las Vegas convention. And there'll be a ton of news come out for that. So we may do it. I have so much to say about Star Trek Discovery. It's not even funny. I love that trailer. So, Kyle, any plugs for you? How's your tea podcast coming, though?
I've eaten a lot of bananas and I've drinking a lot of tea, but I have not recorded anything.
Yeah. And Mark, what do you got going on?
We're continuing our Panels to Pixels podcast on the Next Level Podcast Network. We're currently doing Luke Cage season one.
And is season two out yet, or is that coming out?
It's out already. Yeah. I suggest everybody watch it. I have only gotten through three episodes so far. So,
Okay. Well, the next episode of the Fear the Walking Dead is episode 9 of season 4, People Like Us. And we don't know who's written or directed it, but the description is Morgan tries to help Alicia and this fractured group of survivors as a storm brews.
It's a trap!
All right. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear... No, it's not. I'm going to leave this in. This is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.